eternal. And it just shows that without the understanding of the tabernacle, we would not understand what we would have sung in that first hymn. However, that was still followed by other hymns that have reference, and even the scripture reading to the tabernacle, the first fruits, and then the sacrifice has been given, is all done. And so we see how important it is, the tabernacle is, to our background in understanding what we have, what we are singing. So that's why we are having this series on the types and pictures in the tabernacle. So first we have a quick recapitulation, because our first study was made nearly 7 months ago. So we need to study that a bit to recapitulate. In the first session, we dealt with the tabernacle. I introduced to you how important the tabernacle was. The tabernacle must be understood because there are at least 50 chapters in the Bible that have reference to the tabernacle. And today, even in our singing, we have a reference to the tabernacle. And in our reading of the scripture, also a reference to the tabernacle. And therefore, it's very important. In my second session with you, following the first session, I dealt with the concept, construction, and God hangings of the tabernacle. And, of course, I dealt with, in detail later on, the week after, with regard to the God hangings on the tabernacle, that would be referring to the perimeter of the tabernacle. We learned then that the fence surrounding the tabernacle was of white linen. The length about 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide. Searching for a pointer. Okay, it does not matter. I was searching for my pointer. I don't know where I put it. All right. Anyway, the length of the tabernacle fence would be 100 cubits by 50 cubits. And they were holding up white linen cloth. Now, linen, white linen, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, is referred to as a type of righteousness. So the perimeter would be declaring the righteousness of Christ to the outside world. But then we had also the main entrance. The main entrance. The main entrance would consist of materials of the white linen embroidered with gold threads, purple threads, blue threads, purple threads, and scarlet threads, all embroidered into one beautiful pattern. And that would be the main entrance at the front of the tabernacle. Now, that, of course, would portray, I suggested, the beauties and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ to the outside world, just as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would do so, because there were four posts holding up the main entrance. And that would correspond to the four gospel writers portraying the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew as king, purple color, Mark as servant, white, the righteousness of sins, Luke, man, that will be the scarlet thread in the main entrance, And then finally, John's gospel portraying the Lord Jesus Christ as the one from above, blue in color. And so you find four posts holding up the four glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after that, we would go into the outer court. And when we went into the outer court, we would find two items of furniture, the altar and the laver. Right. The altar, we also mentioned, was four square in shape, signifying that anybody could come and approach the altar. We also learned that there was a middle netting in the altar of 5 cubits. So, at about 3 cubits, there was a netting. That netting of, I'm sorry, the altar was 3 cubits, and then the netting was 1.5 cubits, and that would be the same height as the mercy seat, showing that the sacrifice that was on the slain on the altar, offered on the altar, blood that was shed would then be taken in to the altar, to the mercy seat. And we learned this morning that it was at the mercy seat that blood would be sprinkled, and therefore mercy would be given to forgive the nation, the sins of the nation. And so we find this correspondence of the mercy seat and the altar. Then we have the law of the altar and the law of the fire, that it must go on, that it must be burning all the time. The fire of the altar was specially lit up by the Lord himself when the fire came out from the tabernacle and light up the first sacrifice. And since then, it would not be allowed to go off, at least for the time of the period of the tabernacle. So that would be the the altar of burnt offering, and the laver would be the place where the priests must wash their hands and their feet before they could go into the holy place where there would be service done unto the Lord. And this is what we are aiming for this morning. Let me emphasize, before any priest could enter the holy place to do service unto the Lord, he must wash his hands and his feet at the altar, at the laver. Because if the hands are defiled and the feet are defiled, then the priest cannot serve and cannot go into the holy place and serve. Reason? The Lord would strike the priest dead. He would die. And this is a lesson to each one of us. Because today we are going into the holy place. Today we are going to learn how to serve the Lord. And if we want to serve the Lord, all those who serve the Lord must have clean hands, clean feet. Because God would not accept any defiled service unto the Lord. That is a principle that we must learn. Not only for the Jews of Israel, but also for us in the church. Then we came on to the coverings and the curtains. What are the coverings and the curtains? Now, although we have the framework of the tabernacle, strangely, there were four coverings on the framework of the tabernacle. And these four coverings were made on the outside, and they were called coverings by the badger skin. The badger skin underneath, the ram skin dyed red. Badger skin, so from the outside, you look at the tabernacle, it would be very ugly. The badger skin would not be attractive at all. And that's what the outside people would see. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a tabernacle proper, remember, he came to dwell among us. He tabernacled among us. He was the tabernacle. outside people would see the Lord Jesus Christ as no attraction because it would be like a badger skin. But then look at his ministry and his work. He came as a badger skin in a way, as a human being, unattractive, to die for us. And the badger skin would refer to his death on the cross and the blood that was shed. Ram skin, an offering of a ram. The covering was dyed red, blood, indicating blood was shed. And so the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. Then after that, we have the goat skin. The goat skin will be white. And that would give us the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of atonement done for us, so that though our skin, our sin, be red as crimson, be red as crimson, it will become white as wool, and therefore the sheep skin, the goat skin. And then finally, the last one would be the curtain. Beautiful curtain, similar in embroidery and nature with the door of the tent, the door of the outer court, which I described to you just now. And so we find that the first two are called coverings, and the next two are called curtains. You can read all that in chapter 26 of Exodus. All right. So with the four coverings, we now have the four aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside, unattractive, not beautiful at all. But then he came to do the work of atonement, that he would die for us, so that our sins, though red as colored, shall become white as wool. And then with that, we shall be bestowed the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now we are ready to go in. Right. What would be the two curtains, the two coverings and the curtains represent? The coverings, the beauty, the goat skin, white in color, and the beauty of the curtain under the skin, or the ram skin dyed red, and the badger skin, unattractive and ugly in a way. Yet this would be what God was in Christ, the curtains under the coverings, reconciling the world unto himself. To the outside world, they would not appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not appreciate God. But God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. All these past studies, you can read and find them in my website. Today's study. Today we are going into the holy place. We are going inside, and what shall we see? The holy place is the place of service. Now, perhaps it is good for us to look at the scriptures, because I feel that when you read the scriptures, you may not be able to understand. So let us get used to it. Let me orientate you with the scriptures. So let us look at Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36 and verse 37 and 38. And he made an hanging for the tabernacle door of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen of needlework. Now that will be the entrance going into the holy place. And his five pillars with their hooks and overlaid their capitals and their bands with gold. But their five sockets were of bronze. Right. I like you to note very important few things here. We are going to the holy place, and I like to draw your attention to the entrance. First, there is the entrance made of the same material as the door in the outer court. That is linen embroidered with blue, scarlet, and purple. All the same. therefore portraying the four glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not place. It says there, five pillars hold up the curtain. Five pillars hold up the entrance. And the outside, only four. And I told you that the four could refer to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if coming to this place, there are now five. Why five? Well, if you have your Bible with you, then you will know that you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you have also Acts. Acts is the book of service. It's a gospel, actually. It's a book of service. And there are five. And you ask me whether I am imagining all this. No, it cannot be. Because the door at the outer gate was 20 cubits wide. 20 cubits wide. Very wide. To show the welcome to the outside people, the sinners. But for this entrance into service, there are only 10 cubits wide. Half the width of the gate in the outer court. 10 cubits, but the 10 cubits were supported by five pillars. Whereas the outer gate was supported by four pillars. Five, to show that now you are entering into the Acts of the Apostles, service in the holy place. All right? So that was five now. Another thing, you will note that in the outer gate, the pillars were all made of shittim wood or acacia wood. Here, and no covering over it. But here, it's all overlaid with gold. Because now, you have your sins judged, and you are now going to service. Your sins have been dealt with at the altar. Your current sins, while living, are dealt with in the laver. All sins are dealt with, and now you are covered with gold, ready to enter into service. Right. So, the curtain would show the beauty of the Lord, and it's the beauty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord that challenges us to go into the holy place to serve Him. Many Christians, unfortunately, after the altar experience, stay in the outer court and never go into the holy place. And that's why there are so many Christians today, even sitting among us and sitting in the outside world in the church, where they call themselves Christians, but they do no service for the Lord at all. They never go into the holy place. They never go. And when they do not go into the holy place, they forfeit seeing the beauties and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain. So here again, as you can see, there are the four pillars, four posts for the outer gate, and then five for the gate, for the door leading into the holy place. The moment you go inside, what do you find? Wow. You see above you the very curtains. Remember the four curtains, the two coverings and the two curtains underneath? The most bottom one, the lowest one, would be the curtain embroidered with the same material as in the door of the tent. Beautiful. Wow. The people outside will not see. Those people in outer court will not see. Those people in the wilderness will not see. Only those who have ventured into the holy place will see. But more, as they go in, wow, in front of them, they see the same beautiful curtain as they would have seen at the entrance. But then there's a difference. In front, there was a veil, and it was decorated with cherubim, angels from above, from heaven. Beautiful. Above, beautiful. The glories and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right in front of you, the very majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ to motivate you to serve the Lord as you come into the sanctuary. But wait, It's not finished yet. How about the sight? Wow! The sight is all gold. The bars, the boards of the frames of the front of the tabernacle or the holy place were all overlaid with gold. Can you imagine the priest going to the holy place, seeing above them the beauty of the curtain, before them the beauty of the curtain, all around them? Wow! Gold. All the framework was covered with gold. That is the beauty. The beauty of those who come in to serve. And that's why you wonder why people who serve the Lord are prepared to sacrifice their lives, are prepared to sacrifice everything just for the sake of the service. Because here they see the beauty of service. But we must go further. We did not have to study about the board, but we must also study the bars. Chapter 26, 15, 29. Look at the bars. I need to go into more detail about the boards because there are more things we need to study about the board. In your NIV, perhaps called the frames. All right. Now, the length of the sanctuary, the holy place, I told you, 100 cubits by 50. Of the 100 cubits, the boards, 20 on either side, north and south, 20 boards. So that one board will be 1.5. Now, that means that there will be 30 feet long and 10 feet wide. How do I get my measurements? 20 boards on the length and on both sides. One board is 1.5 cubits. You can get that all in 26:15. Exodus 26:15. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle. 10 cubits shall be the length of the board, and 1.5 cubits shall be the breadth. So one board is 10 cubits high, 5 cubits wide. And there are how many boards? Verse 18. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side and on the north side. 20 times 1.5 will be 30. So 30 cubits long and then 10 cubits wide. Height, 10 cubits. So you have the holy place, 20 by 10 by 10, and the holies, 10 by 10 by 10. A complete cube. Holy place was a complete cube. Right, let's go on from there. So we see the measurements of the board. More. And they are all covered with gold. Shittim wood, but covered with gold. These frames of these boards would sort of relate to the spiritual temple that God is building, that we are a spiritual house, and we are stones built up to compose this temple, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9. Chapter 25, verse 15, very interesting, the word that is used. These boards are to stand up. The emphasis is stand up. They represent us as Christians, the stones in the spiritual house. They represent those of us who have been redeemed, and we stand up. Having done all to stand, Ephesians chapter 6, we read about that. But the important point is Hebrews 10:11, how it applies to standing up. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, we see that the priests in the Old Testament were required to minister in the holy place standing up. You will note the furniture. There's no furniture for any priest to sit down. We are all happy. All of you are seated down. But in the holy place, no sitting down. All must stand up. Let's go back to the frame. One bar, okay? This one bar, we note, has two tenons that go into the silver. Thank you much, brother. I'd like you to pay attention to 26 verse 19. Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under 20 boards, two sockets under one board for the two tenons. What does all that mean? It means this, that for every board, there will be two tenons. Literally, these two tenons are hands, H-A-N-D-S, hands grasping the socket so that the frame could stand up straight. And what does that mean? It means this, that we are to stand up straight on the groundwork of the socket of silver. Ah, what is so important about that? All the sockets, the bases for the frames made of silver. On the other hand, the one at the door was made of bronze. For a person to serve, his sins must be judged first. Remember I told you, bronze is a symbol of judgment. And that's why the serpent was asked, Moses was asked to make a serpent of brass, of bronze, to be lifted up. That's judgment. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So that was judgment. You must be judged, not only for your sin, but for the current sin that you still commit from time to time, so that you have your sins washed in the laver, the sins washed and cleansed at the altar, then you go inside bronze. But once you go inside, you are redeemed. We are redeemed not by things of silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand on silver. We go inside now. We are strongly based upon silver. Okay, let's go on. Every board has got two tenons. These are called hands, for them to grasp. What do they grasp? What do they grasp? May I suggest to you that these two tenons are indeed the reference to the Lord's Supper and baptism. Every frame has two tenons, and those two tenons go down to hold up the sockets so that they can stand up straight. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. It is important. Every believer must be baptized. Every believer should come to the Lord's Supper. It's very, very important, because there are only two ordinances given to the church, and they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. There's no excuse for anyone who is saved, who professes to be saved, and yet not baptized. No excuse. There's no one in the scripture that had been saved and yet not baptized. We read in Acts again and again, they that believed were baptized. The only one who was not baptized was the thief on the cross. You are prepared to die? Okay. Then don't get baptized. Then you die and see go to the Lord. No need to use a phone call. The Lord will call you and text you. So this is what is meant, that you must be grounded. And that's why we have a notice here. Baptized believers should take part of the Lord's Supper. Okay, let's go on. And these bars were overlaid with, these frames, these boards, were all overlaid with gold. We are given a new nature, a divine nature, and we are dressed in gold, so to speak. Wow, beautiful, isn't it? Very beautiful. When you go inside the holy place, you see all around you on both sides, gold. You see in front of you the beautiful curtain, and behind you the beautiful curtain, and you see up above you the beautiful curtain. But if you had not gone inside, you do not see the beauty of all this. You don't see the beauty. You see the dread and awful color of the badger skin. May I encourage all of us here to come to into the very holy place where God, where the Lord is, and serve Him. Okay, we must go on. Apart from the frames, the boards, there are also the bars to hold up the boards. The boards by themselves cannot stand up all the time. They need bars, horizontal bars, to hold them up and to bring them all together. What do we read of the bars? 26, 27. Exodus 26, 26, 27. And thou shalt make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle at the rear side. Okay? 5 bars. Why 5? Not 4, not 3. These 5 bars are to hold the frames together. Without them holding the frames together, the frames will fall. But note also something else. Verse 28. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall rise from end to end. There's a middle bar that goes through the middle of the boards from end to end. And that bar is unseen. What does all this mean? Ah, there is a New Testament teaching regard to this. If we look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16, perhaps we would like to read it because it's so important. Ephesians chapter 4, that 4 bars are given to the church. And what are these? Who are these 4 bars? For the unity of the church. 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, of the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature. 5 special gifts are given to the church in order that the church may grow up, be matured, and be united in one. And what are these 5 special gifts given to the church? Prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, in the early church, these 5 gifts were given. But us now, the first 2 gifts, apostles and prophets, no more. They were the foundational gifts given at the time when the early church was founded. Proof chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Apostles and prophets are the chief, are the foundation of the church. I'd like you to mention this. Note the order. It doesn't say prophets and apostles. If it says prophets and apostles, the prophets then will refer to the Old Testament prophets. It says here apostles and prophets. Every time you have seen this phrase, it refers specially to the prophets in the New Testament. Apostles and prophets. The order is never reversed. When it refers to the gifts to the church, it's always apostles and prophets, and they are the foundation of the gifts to the church. After that, we have no need for them anymore. Then we need the 3 others, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's why we have got 5. Then comes another question. What about the unseen middle bar? What does it mean, the unseen middle bar? Why is that middle bar unseen? And but it reaches into all the boards in the middle of it, in the middle of them all. All right. It could be referring to the third gift. And what's the third gift? The third gift would be the evangelistic gift. The one given to the church by the Lord of men who would go out into the world, unseen in the church, but go out into the world with the universal message. Just as sometimes people ask me, am I in Balmoral Hall or not? You don't see me often. Why? Because I go out to the other assemblies to teach and to preach. Unseen, but we are part and parcel of the home church. They are sent out with a universal message. But more importantly, that middle bar could be something else. It could be a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working among the church, unseen. And it is the teaching of Ephesians 4:3 that we should keep the unity of the Spirit. The Spirit binds us all in one together, and He is unseen, but He is important. And so we see the five bars binding together the boards so that they can stand up as one church. So, very quickly, summary. Believers grounded on the one gospel of redemption, serving God, and that's why on the outside, everything was made of brass. The altar made of brass. The laver made of brass, because that's where the judgment was. But when you come inside, the foundation will be silver, standing on redemption ground. The coverings, the badger skin, Christ in whom is no beauty, the ram skins, Christ our propitiation. Then we have the curtains, the goat's hair, Christ in whom is no sin but made sin for us. And we who have sins like scarlet will have our sins washed as white as snow. Fine twine linen with cherubim, Christ glorious and righteous. And the board, believers standing to show forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bars used by, united by the universal gospel and empowered by the unifying ministry of the Holy Spirit, upholding the church in one body. That would be the significance of the teaching of the holy place as we enter in to serve God. But let us do something else in greater detail. Let's go right inside and see what happens. All right. When we go right inside, we are told in other parts of Scripture what it signifies. For example, in Hebrews chapter 9, 23, 26. And I'd like you to refer to that because it's so important to substantiate what I say when I start applying and referring the tabernacle to New Testament truths and teachings. For example, let's look at Hebrews 9, 23. Hebrews chapter 9. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens, please note, pattern or copy, that the tabernacle is just a copy in the heavens, okay? This is what we must realize. It's a copy of something real in the heavens. Should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. On the earth, we had things that were not perfect. And ceremonies and rituals were ordained in order to show the real truths of what would be in heaven. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. All right, please note, Christ is not entered into the holy places, holy place and the holy of holies made with hands, which are the figures, and that's where you have the type. This is a type warranted in Scripture that the holy place and the holy of holies are types of heaven. But into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God. so that Christ is now seated up, is ascended up into the holy place in heaven, where he still ministers to us, and then into the very presence of God, where he is, the Holy of Holies. Now, yet, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year and blood with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered and so on. So even as the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies with blood once a year, the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven in the presence of God with his own precious blood and never to repeat that sacrifice anymore. So, if the holy place and holy of heaven, holy of holies, would represent the heavens, then the outer court would represent earth. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, the altar. And that's where Jesus Christ shed his precious blood to cleanse us from our sin, the liver, so that we could now enter into the holy place and have communion with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. So, so that would be the holy place to represent that part of heaven corresponding to service. And when we serve on earth, actually, in a way, we are serving in heaven. Until the time comes when the Lord Jesus Christ, until the time comes when we shall be in the presence of God, when a new heaven will take place, and we shall read as we, and when we shall be in, as we read in Revelation chapter 21, a new heaven and a new earth and a tabernacle before us. We shall dwell there. There will be no tears and no more no more weeping and so on. Okay. Let's go in quickly. The furniture. Inside, we see the golden lampstand. Only three items of furniture. The golden lampstand. What does it mean? The golden lampstand is, of course, here we have the items of furniture inside have two references. One to Jesus Christ and another one to ourselves as Christians. To Jesus Christ, we read, Christ is the light of the world. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then to the Christians, Matthew 5:16, you are the light of the world. So to shine and glorify God with your works in heaven, on earth. Then we have the golden altar inside. And the golden altar speaks of prayer. And John 17, we find the Lord Jesus Christ with his prayer for us all, that we all be united in one. And Revelation, we find the altar in heaven, the mansion, Revelation 8, 3 and 4, where the saints who have been martyred cry out unto the Lord for delivery during the time of the great tribulation on earth. So the altar is a symbol of prayer. Then you have the table of showbread, which is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life. I am the bread of life, the manna from heaven. And then 1 Corinthians 10:21, that will have a reference to the Lord's Supper as well, the Lord's table. Now, whatever it is, I want to note not only the furniture in the tabernacle, in the holy place, but also the form. That there is, as I pointed out earlier, there is no seat, no chair in the holy place for anyone to sit. But that is only applicable to us all, because for us all, we need still to stand up to serve the Lord. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, once having left the earth, ascended up to heaven, he went into the very presence of God and sat down. And that is the teaching of Hebrews 10, 12 to 14. He was the only one to be able to sit down. Why? Because he had finished his work. It is finished. And so, very quickly, let's go through. I think we shall leave it here at the moment rather than go over. I shall save that for next week. So, this will be for next Sunday, where I shall deal with the rest of in detail of the lampstand, and then also of the table of showbread and the golden altar of incense. And that will be my last study for the tabernacle for the whole year. I could actually go on for another year on the tabernacle studies. There's so many things that you can learn from there. And I hope that with this, you will now be encouraged to read Exodus chapter 25 to chapter 40 without staring away from it and say, oh, I don't think I can understand. Read it now and see what you can understand about it. It's very refreshing and very good for you to do your Bible study. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the pictures and the types contained in thy word. We thank you for what it teaches us. And we do pray that even as we encourage to go into such studies, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, that we may understand what thy Spirit has to say to us through thy word. We thank you, Lord, again for everything. And we do commit ourselves to thee for the rest of this day, even as we give thee thanks for the refreshments after this. So we give thee thank you, Lord, for all thy goodness to us in Christ's precious name. Amen.